And what I'm going to do is let a girl choose a hymn from the back of the hymn sheet, and we'll sing it. So if there's a girl with a choice, put up your hand. Okay, what about this girl here?
41.
Number 41. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Now I better let somebody else start these this morning. Number 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children who sing are all born in the heavenly anthems, bringing, singing glory, glory, glory to God on high.
But you know, I'm glad we started this Sunday school this morning by singing about these children who are going to be in heaven. And this morning we're going to talk about the importance of being saved while we're young and the importance of being saved right now. I'm going to tell you a little story to introduce my subject, and then we'll sing another song. Because, you know, it's important not only to know that we need to be saved, but it's important to know why we need to be saved. And the reason, boys and girls, that we need to be saved is because we are sinners. Now, this song was talking about boys and girls singing around the Lord Jesus in heaven, whose sins are all forgiven. I'm going to tell you a little story, and I brought something along in my pocket that maybe will help us to remember. And I know at the back you can't see this, but the boys and girls up here can see what I have with me this morning on the end of this string. What do I have? Matthew? What is it? A spider, that's right. I brought a little spider along here this morning, not a real one, but I'm going to tell you a little story about a spider that will help us, I hope, to understand that we are sinners. You know, the problem, boys and girls, this morning, Mr. Buchanan summed it up yesterday in the reading meeting. He said it's a heart problem. It's a problem inside. You know, you boys and girls look so very nice this morning, and you're all dressed up, and you're sitting up straight listening this morning. But you know, the problem is not on the outside, it's on the inside. There was a family by their last name was Kelly. And the Kelly family was a busy household. They had a number of children and young people, and they were always coming and going, and there were appointments to keep and school buses to catch. And so the Kelly family, in their front hall, they had a large clock. And that clock was very, very important to the Kelly family, because that clock kept good time, and they needed to know what time they had to catch their bus and what time Mr. Kelly had to go off to work and all that kind of thing. Well, you know, they always trusted this clock until one night Mr. Kelly came home from work. And Mr. Kelly knew that when he walked through his front door, it was usually right around 6 o'clock in the evening. But you know, he walked in this evening and he looked at the clock and it said 5:30. Well, he knew that wasn't right. And so he went into the kitchen and he said to his wife, he said, "I don't think the clock is working properly." Well, she said, "No, it's not," because she said, "The children missed their school bus this morning and I had to drive them to school." Well, Mr. Kelly, he opened the glass on the front of that clock and he took his finger and he moved the hands around to the proper time. And then he didn't give it too much thought until they got up the next morning. And now the clock wasn't half an hour late, it was 45 minutes late. And every day it lost a few more minutes until one day the clock stopped altogether. Well, you know, Mr. Kelly was very busy, and so they had other clocks, and so they didn't worry about it too much until one day Mr. Kelly had a little time, and he said, "I'm going to take the clock down from the shelf, and I'm going to find out what's the matter with that clock." Now, boys and girls, that clock had a problem inside. The outside of the clock looked just fine, but Mr. Kelly knew that the problem was inside, and so he took that clock down from the shelf, and he unscrewed the covering on the back, and as he looked in, out scampered one of these little creatures, a little spider. And Mr. Kelly looked in, and you know, behind the face of a clock, there's all kinds of gears and wheels, and they have to move in a proper way so the hands will move and keep time. And Mr. Kelly looked in, and he was so surprised. He saw that this little spider had been very, very busy inside that clock. And that spider had been spinning webs. Now, you know, one spider web isn't very strong. But you know, as that spider spun more webs, the gears of that clock began to move slower and slower. And finally, there were so many webs that the clock stopped altogether. Well, you know, Mr. Kelly, he went and got a little brush and he brushed away the cobwebs from the gears of that clock, and the gears began to move and the clock began to tick. He closed it up, he put it back on the shelf, he moved the hands to the proper time, and that clock again became a trustworthy clock, and the Kelly children and young people and their parents could count on that clock. But you see, boys and girls, it wasn't the outside of the clock that had a problem. It was the inside. And you boys and girls, and each one of us born into this world, we have a problem on the inside. And you know, it's just like Satan is binding us with cords of sin. It tells us that we're held with the cords of our sin. And we'll talk about that a little more as we go along. But the reason we need to be saved this morning, and the reason we've scheduled a children's meeting to tell you as simply as we can from the Word of God the way of salvation, is because every one of us are sinners, whether we're young or whether we're old. But the wonderful thing is, just like Mr. Kelly, he had a remedy for the inside of that clock. It was brushing the cobwebs away. You know, the wonderful story this morning is that God has a remedy for sin, and that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth or cleans us from all sin, and we can have our sins gone just like those cobwebs were gone. Your sins can be gone this morning just by simply trusting in the Lord Jesus. Now, we had a girl give out a song, and now if there's a boy who has a choice from the back of the sheet here, okay, here's a boy. 46, okay, a spelling song, if someone could start it.
Thank you.
All we're going to sing for now anyway. We're a little limited on time this morning. And as I say, I want to talk to you about the importance of being saved while we're young and the importance of being saved right now. Now, boys and girls, I know some of you learned a verse, a Sunday school verse, and I'm going to let you off the hook this morning for the sake of time. You know, I'm sure some of you worked very hard at learning your verse, but you know, when I was in school, sometimes I didn't do my homework, and I was always glad when the teacher chose that particular day not to walk up and down the aisles and check the homework. So we're not going to check here this morning. If you learned your verse, the Lord knows that, and I'm very glad that you did. But I want to talk about something now that's very, very important, and I'm going to read you a verse from the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes, when I was a child, I always found was a very hard book both to pronounce and to find in the Bible. But the best way to describe it is if you turn to the Psalms, which is about the middle of your Bible, and then you just go over to Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, and then the very next book is the book of Ecclesiastes. Now I'm going to read you a verse. And there's some big words in this verse, and it's a verse that maybe is a little hard to understand, but we're going to try to make this as simple and clear as possible this morning, because to me, this verse shows very clearly that it's important to be saved while we are young. Now let me read this verse to you. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now there's a lot of big words in that verse, but boys and girls, what this verse very simply is telling us, that it is important to be saved while we are young. Who is our Creator? Who's our Creator?
That's right. Well, by him all things were created. Who's that?
Jesus.
Right, and of course, thank you, and of course, Jesus is God. Now, this verse is telling us that we need to remember our Creator, we need to be saved, we need to come to know the Lord Jesus while we are young. And then it gives us a reason why we need to be saved while we're young. You know, it's just like the cords that are binding our heart that we were talking about a moment ago. It's just like those spider webs that were binding the gears of that clock. You know, boys and girls, the older we become, the more things Satan has to bind our hearts and take our hearts away. Now, I'm thankful that God saves people of all ages. How many here of the boys and girls have ever had a piece of Kentucky Fried Chicken? You ever had a piece of Kentucky Fried Chicken? It's good stuff, isn't it? I like the stuff at Colonel Sanders. But let me tell you about Colonel Sanders. You know, for years, Colonel Sanders tried to get peace in his heart by doing a lot of good things. But you know, in his own words, he said all those things he did, those good things, didn't bring him peace of soul. And you know, at 79 years of age, he finally was invited to a gospel meeting in Louisville, Kentucky, and he went to that gospel meeting, and he heard the preacher preaching from Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Colonel Sanders listened to the message, and he got saved at 79 years of age, and he was a very, very happy man, he finally had peace. So the Lord does save older people. But boys and girls, I believe that it is easier to be saved while we're young before those evil days come. Now I've got another little creature in my pocket here that I'm going to show you. I think some of the boys and girls have seen this before, but we're going to tell this little story again because I think it helps us to understand the importance of being saved while we're young. I brought something along here. What did I bring along? You know what that is? A mouse, that's right. Not a real one, but a little rubber mouse. You know, this is a true story about a lady named Mrs. Van Aaron. And Mrs. Van Aaron was a very wealthy lady. She liked to wear a lot of jewelry. And one night, Mrs. Van Aaron was getting ready for bed, and she took off her necklace and she put it by the bed on the nightstand. And then she took a ring off this finger and she put it with the necklace. Then she took a ring off her other finger and she put it with the jewelry. And then she took off something that looked like this, a very, very expensive diamond ring. And she put it with the rest of the jewelry and off she went to bed. In the morning she got up, she put her necklace on, she put the one ring on, she put the other ring on, and then she looked around for the diamond ring and it was gone. And she looked on the floor and around the carpet, she couldn't find it. She had some servants working for her in her home, she called them, they hadn't seen it. She asked her children. No one had been in her room that night. Well, she was very concerned about it, but you know, time went on, and she kind of forgot about it after a while, until one day, 3 years later, some men came in to do some work on her home. And part of the renovations included tearing up the floorboards in one of the rooms of her home. And as they were busy tearing up those floorboards, they were going to replace the floor. One of the workmen looked, and he was so surprised, because there he saw a mouse, the skeleton of a mouse, and around its neck was Mrs. Van Aaron's lost diamond ring. Well, you know, he got a piece of cardboard, and he slipped it under the skeleton of the mouse, and he picked it up, and he called the lady to show her what he had found, and oh, she was so excited and glad that her ring was recovered. But you know, boys and girls, they examined the neck bone of that mouse, and they determined that what must have happened was, the night Mrs. Van Aaron lost her ring, that mouse must have climbed up on the table where the jewelry was, and you know, it looked all so pretty, and you know, that's like sin when we're young. It looks real pretty, it looks real nice, and it doesn't look very harmful. And you know, he must have been a little mouse, because he very easily slipped the ring around his neck. And then he scampered off. And the ring didn't hurt him. It was nice and smooth and it wasn't tight. You know, again, that's like sin. It doesn't seem so bad when we're young. But you know, the mouse started to grow. And he grew. And the ring got a little tighter and a little tighter. And you know, when they examined the neck bone of that mouse, it was just in a bowl like that. Because as the mouse grew, the ring choked him and finally it killed him. You know, that's like sin too. The wages of sin is death. That ring at first didn't seem so bad. And you know, the sad thing about that mouse was he had no one to save him. You know, that mouse needed someone to reach down and slip that ring off his neck. That mouse couldn't get the ring off himself. And boys and girls, we can't get rid of our sins ourselves. We can't save ourselves. But the wonderful thing is that unlike this mouse, who died because of the ring, we don't have to die for our sins. Because you know, the Lord Jesus died on the cross. And you know, the Lord Jesus has died for me, and my sins are gone because I have simply, by faith and by grace, trusted in the Lord Jesus and had those sins washed away. And you know, boys and girls, that's how easy it is this morning. And you know, when we get saved, it's just like the Lord. And I want to be careful in saying this. Just like if someone had slipped this ring off the mouse and saved him from death, so the Lord reaches down and he takes all those sins. It's like brushing those cobwebs away from the gears of the clock, and the clock can work properly. And the Lord Jesus is the only one that can remove your sins this morning. You can't get rid of your sins. Colonel Sanders tried for years to get rid of his sins by the things he was doing. And giving money to the poor and all those things. It didn't get rid of his sins. It didn't take care of the problem inside. But when he heard the gospel and he believed it, He said himself he was a happy man with peace in his soul. So it's important, boys and girls, to be saved while we're young. But there's another word in this verse I want to notice. It says, it doesn't say this, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. You know, one of my girls was learning this for memory work one day, and she was saying it like this, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. That's not what it says. It says, remember now thy creator. Because if it just said to get saved when we're young, we might think we had a lot of time. Now, I don't know if I should do this, but I'm going to ask this boy here a question. Do you think I'm young? This boy says I'm not young, but now I'm going to ask Mr. Buchanan a question. Do you think I'm young, Mr. Buchanan?
No.
Okay. I think I like Brother Buchanan's response better, but that's all right. But you see, the point is this, boys and girls. You look at me and you say, I'm not young. Mr. Buchanan looks at me and he says, I am young. And if this verse just said, get saved when you're young, I might think I had a lot of time. Because Mr. Buchanan just said, I'm young. And you see, no matter how old we are, we always like to look at somebody else who's a little older and feel that we're young compared to them. And so God has very, very carefully inserted this word, remember now thy creator. Be saved now, not just while you're young, but right now. Now we're going to look at another verse that will help us to understand the importance of this, I hope. And it's in the book of James. That's way over in the New Testament. James chapter 4. And verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, boys and girls, what this verse is telling us is we don't know how long we have to live in this world. You know, if we were to go out to some graveyard in Allendale or any of the surrounding communities here this morning, and if we were to look at the gravestones, we would see that age does not matter when it comes to death. That there are all kinds of ages in every graveyard in this world. There are old people, there are middle-aged people, there are young people, and yes, there are even boys and girls. And this verse is telling us that our life is just like a vapor, or like a cloud. You know, when I was a boy, I liked to go out on a cloudy day and lie on my back on the grass and watch the clouds as they passed over. And you know, I would often pick out shapes out of the clouds. I'd look at the cloud over here, and it would look like the head of a horse. And maybe the cloud over here looked like a bear, and this cloud looked like a person. You ever do that? You ever pick out shapes out of the cloud? Yeah, some of the boys and girls are nodding their head. Well, I used to like to do that. But you know, you would watch that cloud for a while, and pretty soon it would all break up and turn to another shape, or it would move on. And it was just there for a little while, and then it vanished, just vanished away. It disappeared. And God says that's what our life is like, boys and girls. You know, it's like the vapor from the tea kettle. You ever watch your mom? She plugs the tea kettle in or puts it on the stove, and when the water starts to boil, the steam comes up, and it just comes up a little way, and then it vanishes. It disappears. It's gone. God says that's what your life is like. Let me tell you another quick story. You know, sometimes I have the privilege of going down to the island of St. Vincent. That's way down in the Caribbean, in the West, what they call the West Indies. And in St. Vincent, there is a village called Brighton Village. And there's a lady who lives in that village. She's very elderly. Her name is Dorcas Dublin. And you know, I like to go and see Dorcas Dublin, because Dorcas Dublin is a very dear Christian lady. She's known the Lord Jesus for many, many years. She's very old now. She's in her 80s, but she loves to have us knock on the gate. She can't get up to let us in, but we'll go in, and there she's sitting. She's got a Bible, usually some Christian literature she's reading. But last time I was there, she told me a very, very interesting story. Because Dorcas Dublin in her younger years was a nurse in the big hospital in the capital of St. Vincent, which is called Kingstown. And she told me this very, very interesting story. She said, one night I was making my rounds in the hospital, and she came to the cot, to the bed, of a boy who was 13 years of age. A little older than most of these boys and girls on the front row here, but 13 years of age. And as she came to his cot, she could see that he was very, very sick, and very, very weak. In fact, she realized that he was probably dying. And so she leaned over this boy, and she didn't know if he was conscious, if he could hear her, but she said to this boy, "Where are you going when you die?" And this boy opened his eyes, and he looked into the face of Dorcas Dublin, and in terror he said, "I'm going to hell." And then he closed his eyes, and he seemed to drift off into unconsciousness. But Dorcas Dublin was determined to get something through to him in his last moments. And so she bent over the bed, and she, as she told me in her own words, she began to quote, without stopping, gospel verses. And she quoted John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." She quoted 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ." And she kept quoting and quoting and quoting. And finally she quoted, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The boy opened his eyes. He said, "Nurse, I believe." And he was gone. From that hospital bed, absent from the body and present with the Lord. A boy who was on his way to hell as a sinner, in his last moments, believed the gospel and was taken from that hospital to be with the Lord Jesus. But boys and girls, we don't know if we're going to have an opportunity like that. We don't know how long we have to live. And you don't know if someone will be able to bend over you on your deathbed and tell you one last time the way to be saved. And you boys and girls know the way to be saved. You know about the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. You know about the blood of Jesus. You know that you need to be saved and that you need to be saved now. But the question is, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? One more quick verse in closing. In the same book, in the next chapter, James 5. And I'm just going to read the last part of verse 8. "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Now, we've talked about the importance of being saved while we're young, because as we get older, there's more and more to take our heart away, and it becomes harder. We've talked about the importance of being saved now, because we don't know how long we have to live. But here's something very serious to think about, boys and girls. The Lord Jesus is coming, and we don't know when. But one thing the Bible tells us, we just read it, that the coming of the Lord is getting very, very near. And boys and girls, the coming of the Lord may be this morning. And when the Lord Jesus comes, every Christian, everyone who has had their sins washed away in the blood of Jesus, is going to leave this world to meet the Lord Jesus and to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven forever. And boys and girls, if the Lord Jesus were to come this morning, every believer from this room would rise to go right up to meet the Lord Jesus. What about you? Would you rise from this room to meet the Lord Jesus? The coming of the Lord is getting very, very near. And so I hope this morning we've been able, from the Word of God, to impress upon you the importance of being saved, but not just being saved, but being saved right now. And you know, I'm going to pray now, the end of Sunday school, and if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it is as simple as talking to Him in your heart. You don't have to say one thing aloud. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you say, even if you don't utter a word aloud. And if you just tell Him you're a sinner and you want to be saved, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's pray. Our God and Father.